Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Today we are here to have very interesting conversations. We hope all your pastors will not tell you or call you right now to say, hey, please don't watch this one, you know, because we'll be discussing the humanity in pastors. It's a very difficult topic to deal with. And I don't know, I think a pastor's wife could share a lot on that.
You know, we walk with our wonderful pastors from all walks of life, and it's an incredibly intimate relationship. And sometimes we see parts of our pastors that we don't necessarily understand. So I actually wanted to ask you, Danny. He's the one he's the one that's been doing this longer than me. So I just wanted to ask,
yes, Pastor,
what have you seen in your walk with some pastors in terms of the humanity in them?
Wow. Look, I always share about the first couple that I walked very closely with. Was a couple whose names I just won't mention. I know they wouldn't mind, but just because I didn't speak to them before this. And I just remember we went to the zoo once with them. It was their day off. It was my day off. I was working at Impact Radio at that time. And I lost a lunchbox, you know, in the middle of the day. And the wife really, you know, she really freaked out, you know, and I could not understand. I kept asking myself, where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the anointed woman of God I know? And then in the back of my head, I'm like, why is she freaking out for a lunchbox, you know? And it turned out that it was really a time of faith for them, where even the lunchboxes, they had to trust the Lord for. But I kept asking myself, like, you know, I remember even like a few days after that, just thinking, like, are these people really anointed? You know, because of the lunchbox.
Must I'm like, be tough being.
Have
a
I found myself in a mess here? You know, but this pastor and his wife were really intentional about making sure you see their humanity. They didn't give you their best foot forward, and I think they kept shocking me, you know, to a point where at some point it clicked. Like, oh, they're humans. Like, these are actually human beings that God just uses because they are available. You know, they didn't fall from like an Abraham seed that grew somehow. So I think that experience for me was eye-opening. In fact, I called the pastor's wife recently because the husband is late, and I thanked her. You know, I told her walking with them set a very different foundation for me. You know, because I've seen how people deal with disappointments with pastors, where there's such an expectation where no human can fulfill. You know, you expect them to sneeze right, to to understand right, to be the doctor, the dentist, you know, the specialist who, you know, in every field. But in the end of the day, you have to realize that pastors are humans and pastors will get it wrong. You know, your pastor is not your financial advisor. You know, they can't tell you all the products that Old Mutual has, you know, when you're trying to get a death cover, you know. So somewhere along the line for me, it began to click. And what was important is, as I began to deal with my humanity, my moments of doubts, because I remember just to share maybe one testimony. This pastor and his wife would go to Russia and do ministry work there. And they would literally have Bibles in their bags, you know, which was illegal, you know. But when the authorities would open the bags, the Lord will restrain their eyes from seeing the Bibles, you know. And even when they had things like meetings for church, they wouldn't announce beforehand that this is where the venue is going to be. They will trust the Holy Spirit to tell everybody, and people will show up like that. In that way, if the government had gotten to someone, you know, and they were meant to come and spy, suddenly they wouldn't know where the meetings were. So these were very anointed people, you know. So I'm expecting, you know, in a situation where a lunchbox is missing, the Holy Spirit will tell them, the lunchbox is over there, and they'll fetch it, you know. But even in the areas where they were trusting God financially, and the finances were not coming through, you know, they would be open about it, and they would say, "Look, we worried," you know, and they would just be so real that I was used to pastors coming on the pulpit with a testimony of how the Lord came through, you know. So seeing the behind the scenes didn't just prepare me to understand that any pastor I walk with will be human, but it prepared me for myself.
I was actually going to ask and say, how did walking with these two people prepare you for your walk with other people later on?
Yeah, I think it in the times of weakness, at least I could not doubt my own calling and not sit there and think, okay, maybe I'm not as anointed as I thought I was or as called or set aside, simply because I saw someone else go through it, you know, someone experienced. And, you know, what's actually very interesting is it gave me grace for people in Scripture, you know, because I would think of guys like Noah, like, yo, man, you were called to literally, you know, save humanity, put, you know, all the pairs together. And then the next thing, Noah's drunk, you know. And I remember just one day as a pastor now in my older years, thinking, wow, Noah could have been depressed.
Yeah.
Because it's very hard to minister to people and only your family gets saved.
Yeah.
Was he maybe thinking, I'm not good enough as a man of God?
Yeah.
Was he not carrying on his conscience all the people who died because they didn't receive? Could I have done more? You know, so in those moments, I've really, you know, gotten more grace, you know, for myself and for people around me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, maybe my wife can attest, like, honestly, when a pastor lets me down, I can switch.
Yeah.
Like, I've got a switch to say, you know what? I was serving the Lord through you, but you are a human being. And it's fine. You can mess up.
It's interesting to note about the mess up in humans, pastors alike. We spoke about it in a previous episode called Cancel Culture. But what is so important to note is that God uses anybody who accepts for God to use them.
Yes.
The fact that God is using somebody doesn't automatically mean that that person is perfect or that that person no longer has any problems. So I'm particularly thinking about Jonah. Jonah has been coming up for me a lot. We had a situation once where I was going somewhere and I knew that they were going through a difficult situation and the Lord had a word for them. But you know when you're trying to be sensitive to the situation and then the Holy Spirit steps in and says, stop being sensitive to the situation and be sensitive to me.
Well, you're like, I don't want to tell them that, Lord.
I don't want to tell them.
Can you use another woman of God?
So I remember actually being in their midst and we were surrounded by... It wasn't a churchy environment. There was no worship music. There was no tingles. But I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit step into the room. So I asked the Lord, I said, what are you doing here? No, 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 no. What are you doing here? Leave. We're not singing. We're not praying. What are you doing here? And before I knew it, I was delivering this very sensitive word in a very sensitive moment. I remember leaving that place feeling terrible. The next day, I was in fits of tears and just asking the Lord, how could you have me deliver that word in that moment? So I went into scripture because, you know, I wanted to find out what is going on. And the scripture I fell on was where the Lord is talking about how you are his slave. You are his servant. Mm. And when I did the research, I found that the original Hebrews was slave, but it didn't, you know, sound well to people. So some places went and changed it to something that sounded better. Mm. But the Lord was essentially saying, you have to do what I tell you to do when I tell you to do it. And suddenly Jonah was human. Suddenly, you know, we are so hard on poor Jonah. You know, that's why he sat in the belly of the whale. Who doesn't go where God tells them to go? But what were his reasons? What was he concerned about as a human being? And I actually see that story with a lot of grace. God had so much grace that he's like, I'm going to get you there anyway. Because he could have just punished him for not doing it. But he said, you know what? Maybe there was something that God understood about Jonah to say, he's struggling with this one. Let me just give him a little hand. Let's just put him in a whale.
Let me get him an Uber.
Yes, we're going to Uber him, old school.
Uber Eats.
Through the sea. Through the sea. And the humanity in figures that we see walking with God, however that looks to you, it could be your mom, it could be your pastor, it could be your brother, your sister. But just because God is using somebody doesn't mean that they lose their humanity. And on that note, speaking about cancel culture, it's so weird to me, and I quickly want to discuss this with you. Whenever a huge name goes through a scandal, and now all the stores are removing their books, and I become so grieved because the words, the person, even if you leave your pastor, it doesn't mean that now they're a heretic. You could fall out really badly with a man or woman of God who actually fed you for like 5 years or 6 years. It doesn't mean that because you've confronted their humanity or that your particular season with them is done, that God never used them in your life. Like, what do you think of that? That the concept of if we're done, we're done, including every word you ever spoke to me.
I think this is also where pastors' children struggle a lot, you know, because every parent is going to miss the mark. You know, parents are parents. But a pastor has to be a pastor parent, you know, and there's just no such thing. There's no title in scripture that calls you a pastor parent, you know, even though there's that responsibility to say, as a man or a woman of God, you still have to be sensitive. But hey, in the end of the day, you are going to mess up. And I believe what we've done wrong as people in ministry is we've set that bar there, you know, and I know it's a bit complex because sometimes when pastors have shown their humanity, the same thing that they showed in love and in trust is then used against them. You know, where someone in the congregation, you know, will probably use that to try to undermine them, to tell people, look, this pastor isn't as anointed as we thought they were. So at some place, there are pastors who are protecting themselves as well, having gone through a lot of hurt.
I actually have a question about that.
Yes.
When you can't protect yourself and life is just happening,
yes,
is there an understanding that God is still working on your pastor as well?
Hey.
See, the mindset that because you're on that physical pulpit, you've made it in life, in spirituality, in your walk with God, it's simply not true. God can use anyone at any stage of their lives. And it's important to remember that even as the man or woman of God is delivering word to you and they're feeding your spirit, they also need to be fed by God. So this belief system that you're now perfect because you have this insight from the Holy Spirit is simply not true. I can tell you for free, every single man and woman of God that you encounter on social media, on TV, wherever, they are working through something with God. It doesn't have to be at the level it was when they started, but there's always something that God is perfecting.
I mean, we
in
see
us.
It with Abraham. The first child, they made a plan, you know, and the second child, they waited on God. So he had to grow. You know,
growth.
So you could have been walking with Abraham and overheard Sarah say, look, let's help God. You know, there's the mate. And then
they don't trust God.
They don't trust God.
They're
heretics. You could have concluded something because you met Abraham at a point where he was growing in that. I mean, come on. God was asking Abraham to trust him, that an old woman who is his wife, I mean, how long had they been together by that time? I've been with you 100 years, close to 100 years there.
That sounds so weird now.
Now God shows up, say you're going to give birth. I mean, I'd say, I know Letitia. God, it's not going to happen, but let's trust you. Mm-hmm. Let's trust you. Let's see if, you know. And just those words, it's a start.
Yeah.
Let's trust you. Ooh, I'm not sure. Mm. But as things begin to happen, you begin to trust. Mm. And remember, in Sarah's case, we also hard on her. What did God have to do? He then took her and had her praying for barren women and seeing it happen. So some of us, you're walking with pastors in the beginning where they're walking in a certain area for the first time and they have to trust God for things where they've never trusted God for before. And I'll never forget my biggest, maybe foundational belief, like word that grounds me when working with pastors. God always told me, do not get familiar. Do not get familiar. In other words, see the humanity and accept that the Lord is still using them. You may not. Sometimes you may think you are better than them and you know more. And I'm putting that in inverted commas because I'll never forget when I started in radio, and I actually use this a lot with my workers. I thought, man, I'm going to change things. Radio will never be the same with Danny Van Billy on it, you know? And I thought my bosses were just getting it wrong. Like, I thought, no, man, they just don't get this. And I'll never forget when I became a boss and we were running our business and I encountered a young person who literally had my attitude. I called my old boss up and just said, hey, look, I need to apologize to you. Because back then, I thought I knew more than you, you know? And he laughed and he just said, look, we all start off that way, you know? But I'm saying that grace of understanding. I am being privileged to see the behind the scenes. I am privileged to walk with you closely. And I think it's the same with our husbands and wives.
Because so true.
We get to see each other in our worst. But the Lord still uses us. So you need to differentiate when, you know, your wife was watching, I'll use this lightly, the Kardashians. Maybe
I don't watch the Kardashians.
My wife doesn't watch the Kardashians. I'm just saying. So you know how, let's use a soapy. Your wife was watching soapies. While watching that soapy, the Lord drops something deep in her. And she comes up and she's like, hey, Paul, this is the word from the Lord. And you say, well, you are just watching soapies.
Not you. I just really want to read Mark 2, verse 19. WWE. Right? Mark 2, verse 19 says, those who are healthy don't need a doctor, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Those who recognize their sin and seek forgiveness. I want to focus where it says, I did not come to call the righteous.
Sure.
Because that call is the same for your pastor. So he did not come to call righteous pastors. He did not come for that. He came to call sinners and made them pastors. So there's a process. I mean, imagine being Esther's mentee, the wonderful Esther. You would then watch her tell Mordecai, I can't do this. And then you're sitting there thinking, oh, I thought you were Esther. What's that? And then even when it happens, even when Esther is able to go back to the Lord in humility and he's able to work in her, because during that three-day process, I often think about this because Esther was an orphan. When you're an orphan, you have a rejection spirit, okay? So you come from nothing. You do not have money. You do not have support. And scripture says that she told her handmaidens to do A, B, C, D. So she came from nothing to everything, and you have a rejection spirit. There's this feeling of, I finally made it, Mordecai. What are you doing? How can you come here and tell me to give all of this up? Yeah. That's what was happening with Esther. She'd finally found home. She'd finally found support. She'd finally found provision. And suddenly Mordecai is saying, you need to risk all of that to save the people. So there was a process that she had to go through with God to realize she wasn't here to satisfy all those voids. Mm. She was here for a time such as this. Mm. So as her handmaiden, who is watching her go through this process, once the Jews are finally saved, you can still have the mentality of, but you should have seen how hard she took it. It wasn't that easy. Because now when the story is being told,
I know the behind the scenes.
Yes. When the story is being told, you're just rolling your eyes thinking they're making it sound like it was so easy. She was crying with us.
Yeah.
We had to convince her that this is something she had to do. But those processes, I think what's important even about, you know, this segment is just to realize that everyone is going through a process and to have grace for that process and to truly have a word for why you are there. I think that's what's so important when we're walking with men and women of God. Mm. God typically gives us a word of, listen, here I need you to serve because you're learning service. Mm. Here I need you to learn the humility. Mm. Here I need you to learn how to hear the voice of God. So if you're there to learn how to hear the voice of God and you have a lunchbox situation, let that go.
Yeah.
You're not there for the lunchbox.
You're not there for the lunchbox.
You're not there for the, I can't do this, God, I'm scared. Yeah. But you're there to learn how to hear God. And I think that's a good way to differentiate between the pedestal we put our pastors on and the truth of who they really are. And also that pedestal in itself is a problem. Because pastors are just men and women who said yes to the call. Mm. And the call looked like a pulpit. Not all calls look like a pulpit. Mm. They're just on one.
Can I actually add something?
Yeah. Here?
Sometimes we want to put pastors on a pedestal so that we can eliminate ourselves from taking responsibility and doing what God told us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We want to look at them like, okay, but they are up there and that's I am not.
Them.
You know, God called you, not me, you know? So if you think about it carefully, even people in scripture, they were just human beings who were called to, I mean, think about it now. You are sitting there on your couch watching this, God telling you, look, I want you to leave your country, go to another country, I'll create a nation there for you. That's Abraham. You know, so yes, he had to doubt. Yes, he didn't believe certain things were possible. But he was a human being just like you and me.
Yeah.
Guess we're going to wrap it up there.
See you guys next time.
And treat your pastors with grace, with love, with respect, with honor. You might know more financially than them, but guess what? The Lord still chosen them to teach you on the walk of faith and how to serve God where he's called you. Goodbye.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Van Billies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Van Billies, you can just type in at the Van Billies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Van Billy, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Van Billy. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.